Ready, I'll go ahead and get going.
I'm ready.
Great. Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission meeting of Wednesday, November 12th, 2025, called to order at 12:03 p.m. And could we have roll call, please?
Yes. Allison Doggy?
Here.
Andrew Christopher? Blake Houghton?
Here.
Carlos Lozano?
Here.
Courtney Marks?
Here.
Gary Miner? He's on mute. I'll call back on him. Helen Erickson?
Here.
J.J. Lamb?
Here.
Joel Ireland?
Here.
Julie Rigoli? Ken Scoville?
Present.
Kathy Kubish?
Here.
Mauro Trejo?
Here.
Savannah McDonald?
Here.
Steve Grady?
Here.
Terry Majewski?
Here.
Tim Haggard?
Here.
Gary Miner?
Gary, you're on mute. You're there? Okay, great. Did you get that, Carla?
13, 14, 15. Yes, I did. I have a quorum of 15.
Hold on. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Okay, so there may be a couple other people that join. Oh, you didn't call Jessica Bassey, and she is a new commissioner appointed by the county.
My apologies. Jessica Bassey?
Here.
Perfect. Thank you. Yes, so thank you. Quorum of 16.
All right. Perfect. All right. So I'll go ahead then with item 2, which is the land acknowledgement. Commissioner Lozano, would you like to read that for us, please?
Thanks. On behalf of the residents of the city of Tucson, the city of South Tucson, and Pima County, we honor the tribal nations who have served as caretakers of this land from time immemorial and respectfully acknowledge the ancestral homelands of Tohono O'odham Nation and the multi-millennial presence of the Pascua-Yaqui tribe within Pima County. Consistent with the TPCHC's commitment to diversity and inclusion, we strive toward building equal partner relationships with Arizona's tribal nations.
Thank you. Before I move on to item 3, I see some folks that I'm not sure who they are, so do they have access to the chat, or how can they let you know?
I think they might have access to the chat if they kind of want to put a brief introduction, or they can just go on and speak.
You can just say their full name. Colette Mayo?
Colette is a student of mine. This is Helen. And she is a visitor today. She's very interested in learning more about the commission.
Okay, we'll just say student guest. Okay. And then Lydia Barker?
Yeah, hi everyone. Good afternoon. I'm Lydia Barker. I'm a planner with the City of Tucson Department of Transportation and Mobility. I'll be taking over for the City of Tucson DTM project updates. So whatever you all are interested in getting updates on.
Yeah. Okay, Lydia, should I call on you during that update then?
Yes, please. That'd be great.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, I appreciate it. And do we have the phone number ending in 49?
4549, that's Alice Sadongi.
Oh, thank you, Alice. And then the phone number ending in 23? Do you have that one, Carla?
I have
Tim
that
Haggard.
One.
Oh, that's Tim?
That's
perfect.
Tim.
Okay, perfect. Let me see then. I'm looking at page 2 of my... Okay, we've got Ian... Milliken, Michael Taku, Julie logged on. Okay. Julie, so you're here? You're on mute, Julie.
Sorry about that. Yes. I joined at 11:02, according to my computer.
Okay, that's perfect. Okay, then let's see. We've got Tracy on. We've got Jonathan Knightenweiser from the city. Scott O'Mac, Pima County. Desiree from the city. And Dan Bursick from the city. So I think if there's any other folks, let's just keep an eye out for them. Does that make sense? It's just easier for us to do this now. Oh, and Courtney Rose just joined from the county. Okay, so perfect. All right. So the next item, 3, is approval of the TPCHC minutes from the meeting of 10-8-25. Could I have a motion to approve as submitted, please? Anyone?
This is JJ. I'm also to approve.
Okay, let's have JJ move, and who will second?
This is Courtney. I'll second.
Okay, Courtney Marks. Okay, perfect. All right, is there any discussion of those minutes? Okay, if not, we'll have to do a quick roll call, please. Thank you.
Okay, Allison Doggy?
Aye.
Blake Houghton?
Aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Courtney Marks?
Aye.
Gary Miner?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
J.J. Lamb?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Yes.
Ken Scoville?
Yes.
Kathy Kubisch?
Aye.
Maro Trejo?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Steve Grady?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Haggard?
Tim?
Aye.
Jessica Bassey?
Aye.
And then, did I call Julie Rigoli?
No.
But no, Julie Rigoli.
I say aye.
Okay, perfect. Motion passes 17-0.
Perfect, thank you. And I'm wondering where Commissioner Christopher is. I'm worried, but he will hopefully be on at some point. Thank you. The minutes from 10-8-25 are approved as submitted. Item 4 is chairperson summary of current events. I wanted to briefly mention that we do have one new commissioner from Pima County appointed in a specialist position. And let's go ahead and have Jessica Bassey introduce herself. We're very excited that she's joined us. So, Jessica, tell us about your interest in preservation, where you work, and so forth.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jessica Bassey. I work at the University of Arizona in the capacity of their real estate manager. I manage the real estate for the university, and I'm also their historic preservation officer. I have a master's degree in real estate development from the U of A and a graduate certificate in heritage conservation from the U of A. So I'm very excited to be a part of this commission, and my hope is that we can create strong communication between the university, the city, and the county with preservation matters.
Great. Thank you, Jessica. This is so well needed, and we appreciate you being willing to serve. Several other commissioners who had been appointed by a county supervisor were moved into specialist positions. And so let me see if I can tell you who those are. I am one of them. We also have Commissioner Ireland, Commissioner Scoville, and who am I forgetting?
Commissioner McDonald.
Oh, yes, yes, and Savannah, yay. So we're very lucky so that we were able to, because with the change in the text amendment, supervisors are only allowed to appoint one person, and so then we moved quite a few people into the specialist position. So that was really great. And I wanted to thank Ian and Courtney for their support in getting these appointments made. And we did it. So thank you. So I wanted to also alert you to the fact that I'm going to ask subcommittees and working groups to send me a report for 2025 activities. I'll send you all an email with what I would like you to do, but be thinking about a list of all the meetings you had, who your subcommittee members are, your significant achievements, and this is very important. So, yes, JJ, you had a question? You're on mute.
Okay, sorry. I just wanted to remind you about Commissioner Trejo.
That's an under item 6.
Oh, did I? Okay, sorry, I jumped the gun there.
I haven't forgotten it because I have it written down. But thank you for the reminder. Ken, did you have something real quick?
Yes, I just had a question. I wasn't aware. What does specialist mean? Is it just more words on my title? What does that mean?
Well, you were appointed as in the historian position.
Oh, okay.
You know that. I've told everyone what their position was, and I just don't have them right here, but I'll mention excellent. But it's very parallel. Yeah, well, but you are a specialist, so. But it's now the structure is essentially parallel between the city and the county for how commissioners are organized, if that makes sense. Yeah, so it's a good thing. All right, let me see where I was back to. So if you have questions about those reports, I will email shortly within a week about it, but be thinking about those topics. And then other current events, as things come up, I email you or I have Carla email you with things that may be of interest to you that are happening. Okay, item 5 is recently posted subcommittee LAR/minutes. This is just a reminder that posted minutes are found at that link. But if you go to the boards and commissions website for the city and look at select our commission, and you can look at things that are like draft LARs, you know, final LARs, all that stuff. And so I appreciate people getting their materials into me for posting. Okay, item 6 is removal appointments to commission subcommittees, working groups, and so on. To preface this, I want to mention that there's 3 appointments on the city side that the appointment end date coincides with that elected official's from that particular ward, that person's term ending. So these include Commissioner Grady, Commissioner Rigoli, and Commissioner Marks. And I know that Commissioner Grady is not seeking reappointment. I think he is timed out. But Commissioners Rigoli and Marks, if you are interested in continuing your appointment, there's nothing I can do, but you need to go to, you know, talk to your current ward person and say you'd like to continue or you don't want to continue and see if they can speak with the incoming elected official for that ward. Does that make sense? And you can talk to me offline, email me, or call me. And if you have questions about that, okay, because neither of you have timed out in the time you're eligible for appointment. So, okay. All right, so that sort of affects what we're doing here. So I've been in touch with people from Historic Landscape Subcommittee and also with the Outreach and Training Subcommittee, and we need to appoint 2 more interested commissioners. And so I would entertain a motion to appoint Commissioner Haggard as a member of the Historic Landscape Subcommittee and Commissioner Trejo as a member of the Outreach and Training Subcommittee. Would anyone be willing to make that motion, please?
So moved. So, this is Steve Grady.
Okay, Steve.
Helen will second.
Okay, so we've got appointing Commissioners Haggard and Trejo to those respective subcommittees, and I can put that motion in, Carla, when it's time. So is there any discussion of these appointments? Okay, if not, let's do a roll call vote, please.
Okay. Allison Doggy?
Aye.
Blake Houghton?
Aye.
Carla Lozano?
Aye.
Courtney Marks?
Aye.
Gary Miner?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
J.J. Lamb?
Aye.
Jessica Bassey?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Yes.
Julie Rigoli?
Aye.
Ken Scoville?
Yes.
Kathy Kubish?
Aye.
Maro Trejo?
Do I need to abstain?
No.
Okay, yeah, with an aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Steve Grady?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Haggard?
Tim, are you there?
Did you not hear me?
No.
I said yes.
Okay.
Okay, motion passes 17-0.
Perfect. Thank you. And thank you, Commissioners Haggard and Trejo, for being willing to serve. And subcommittee chairs for these committees, be sure that you are aware of your new quorum requirements with the addition of these folks. And if you have questions, please let me know. All right. Item 7 is reports from City of Tucson, Pima County, and City of South Tucson staff, and also DTM. So let's start with 7A, which is City of Tucson, and we have Desiree here to present.
Thank you, Chair Majewski, and hello, commissioners. Welcome, Commissioner Bassey. It's great to have you on the commission, and I look forward to working with you. So first, some staffing updates. I failed to mention at our last commission meeting, so some of you may have heard by now, but Corin Manning, who was previously our interim director of PDSD, is now our director of PDSD. So congratulations to Director Manning. Also, Elisa Hamblin, who was formerly our zoning administrator, is now was recently promoted to deputy director. So she will be overseeing code enforcement and advanced planning or long-range planning, which historic preservation is a part of. So she will be kind of in our chain of command with our preservation work. Some policy and planning updates. Proposition 417 or Plan Tucson 2025 was ratified by Tucson voters last week. So we want to thank all of the commissioners who participated in conversations and discussions, especially the working group that worked closely with our staff on our historic preservation goals and policies that are part of our Plan Tucson 2025. So now we look forward to the implementation stage and of those next steps on realizing those goals and policies. There is a public hearing this evening on the middle housing code amendment. So wanted to let people know. So that's November 12th from 6 to 9 p.m. It is a hybrid meeting, so people can attend in person at City Hall, Mayor and Council's chambers, or you can also join online, and the link is available on the Planning Commission webpage. Some recent community events. Last week was very busy. The Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation wrapped up Modernism Week. There were a wonderful plethora of events, tours, lectures, including a tour of the TCC Modern Expo landscape by Commissioner Erickson, which I attended, which was really excellent and educational. Commissioner Scoville also led a tour of Miracle Mile, which I did not have the pleasure of attending, but I heard really good things about it. So congratulations to the Preservation Foundation and everyone involved on a successful event. Last week, PDSD co-sponsored an event with the Southern Section of the Arizona American Planning Association and Latinos and Heritage Conservation. It was a workshop called Raíces Comunales, Latinx Legacies of Comida and Climate, and it was focused on memory mapping sites of importance to food, heritage, and climate in Tucson. And so that information will be put into a GIS story map as part of LHC's Abuelas project. So I wanted to report back on that. Commissioner Lamb attended, so thank you, Commissioner, for your presence there. And then on Saturday, there was another event at the El Pueblo Neighborhood Center. So the center turned 50 years old, and there was a really big community and collaboration with the Sunnyside Foundation, the University of Arizona, and the City of Tucson to document its history. So that exhibition will still be on display through January 18th, if anyone is interested in attending. Some recent survey and designation work. On November 5th, Mayor and Council initiated historic landmark designation of Tucson City Hall. So City Hall was built in the 60s, a significant mid-century modern civic complex. And the nomination was originally prepared by the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation a few years ago. So SHPO determined it eligible, and now it's moving forward. So the next step in the process is for the nomination to go to PRS. So we're looking at December or January for that to happen. We're also reviewing a draft of the African American Historic Context that was submitted by Margaret Hengen and Westland Resources, and we're hoping to present that project to you in February. There will also be a story map included as part of that work. And then one last thing on our survey. So we met with Barrio Kroger Lane last month to kind of reconnect on the nomination, National Register nomination for that neighborhood. So we'll be moving forward with that with some updates to the nomination. So I think you all probably, well, most of you have received an email if you're on the commission at the end of October about a demolition that happened, or partial demolition that happened in the Barrio Histórico. So just wanted to give an update on that. So on October 27th, our office was informed by a member of the Barrio Histórico Advisory Board that a building at 403 South El Paso was in the process of being demolished. It turns out, we looked into it immediately, that the demolition permit was issued in error. So it had been issued, but it did not go through the correct HPZ kind of full process that it should have gone through. So we did issue a stop work order. Unfortunately, a corner had already been demolished. So now we're at the point where the priority is to shore up the building so that it, you know, to prevent further structural damage to it. And then at that point, the applicant will need to go through that full demolition application process. But wanted to prepare or present, you know, just an update on that. It did expose some weaknesses in our system. So we've taken some measures to address that. So mainly in our online permitting system, the fact that there weren't more kind of safeguards in the system and checks and balances to ensure that, you know, even if there was human error, that that such a mistake won't happen again. So we are working on that, or we've already made those changes in the system, but we're working on other things too, like training and things like that. But if you have questions, feel free to reach out to me. And that's all I have today.
Great. Ken, go ahead.
On the recent partial demolition, what is the intent of the owner? Did they just want to demolish it, or are they still trying to preserve it? What's the status on what remains?
Yeah, so the building itself had already been in pretty bad shape. It was identified on the VANS program, and so that's the Vacant and Neglected Structures program. So the city did issue a citation because there had been complaints on the structural safety and and folks potentially even living in there or, you know, going on site. So that's just some of the background. So I think the intention is the applicant submitted the demolition application kind of in response as a way to meet, you know, the citation. The other option is to, that the owner has is to, you know, bring it up to code. But I think the financial, the finances of that, I'm not sure if that's something, you know, the applicant chose to move forward with the demolition rather than bring it up to code. So at this point, that's what, that's the information that we have. How it moves forward, you know, we don't know, but most likely I anticipate the full application for demolition will come through.
Okay. Oh, you're always hoping for a more positive outcome. Seems like a while back, because I've been around too long, seems like the city did something in Armory Park that they helped a building along that they really shouldn't have helped along. So this seems to be a little bit, Steve Grady's nodding his head, so it seems like this is before your time, Desiree, but this isn't the first time that the city's sort of expedited things a little.
Right. Yeah, I see Commissioner Trejo.
From Mauro, and then Andrew.
Yeah, just wondering, how old is the building? How old is the building?
I believe it's a 1920s building. I'd have to double check.
You know, it looks like that's what I thought it was. Thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Andrew.
I was just saying, Terry, I showed up late. I came into the meeting at 12:22 for the record.
Thank you. And I was going to text you or chat with you, but the chat function's disabled. So 12:22. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So, Mauro, did you have something else, or are you good? I think he just hasn't lowered his hand. Joel?
No, that was it. I'm sorry. I'll lower my hand.
I'm sorry. I just have two questions. Can you tell us the address of the place that where this happened again?
Yes, it was 403 South El Paso.
And just briefly, this was just a mistake, or did it look purposeful? Just generally speaking, or just this mistake of not the right hand not knowing what the left hand.
It was a mistake. So the historic review, we have two historic demolition policies. There's the architectural documentation, and then there's the full HPZ review, which has to go through mayor and council or PDSD director, depending on its contributing status. So the architectural documentation piece was done, and I think the reviewer thought that's all that needed to be done, not catching the fact that it actually has this whole other process that it has to go through. And so, you know, then the other sections of the apartment do their review. The permit was issued. So that's where in our system we now have a hold, so that I have to be the one, or the historic preservation officer has to be the one to sign off. And then there's conditions and just making it, you know, all the red flags and alarm bells that we can to make sure that this doesn't happen again.
Good job. Thank you.
You know, we really appreciate this, Desiree, and your transparency about the issue. Every commissioner should have gotten an email about this. So thanks again.
We're sorry about this a bit.
Yeah, we are too, but hopefully the system will be improved and prevent it in the future. Item 7B is Pima County, Conservation Lands and Resources, Cultural Resources, and Heritage Preservation. Ian, do you want to begin, please?
Sure. we're going to keep this relatively short. We have a pretty substantial item on the agenda later on that is a pretty significant update for the commission. But I did also want to give a warm welcome to Ms. Bassey. My name is Ian Milliken. I'm serving as the Historic Preservation Officer on the county side. I also want to introduce Courtney and Scott. Did you guys want to introduce yourselves?
Welcome, Commissioner Bassey. This is Courtney Rose. I'm with Pima County. I'm also an archaeologist.
Thank you.
Scott, are you there?
Oh, he's muted.
I'm here. Welcome, Jessica. I'm Scott O'Mack. I work with Courtney and Ian in the county office. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
So I do have two quick updates. One, again, on the planning side, similar to the city of Tucson, Pima County Board of Supervisors adopted Pima Prospers, and I just wanted to say a special thank you to JJ, Helen, and others for all their participation in that. We got a lot of really good feedback and praise from specifically Supervisor Scott, Supervisor Hines, Supervisor Allen, Supervisor Cano, even Supervisor Christie. And so really, I think it's a very strong document. We're really excited to propel that forward. And then lastly, I just wanted to update that one of the items that will be on the Plans Review Subcommittee meeting, I believe it's next week, is the Mission Garden nomination that Scott has been working on to support that federal grant that we have for that property. So really look forward to that going through the courtesy review process and SHPO, and we'll be defending that nomination at HSRC later this month. Correct, Scott?
Yes, that's right. The 21st.
Okay. 21st. We'll have more project updates at the next meeting, but I did want to be respectful of time, and we have a pretty substantial item later on. So that's it for now, Terry.
Okay, thank you. Carlos, do you have a quick question?
Yeah, Ian, I just heard this morning on the news about another data center going in or proposed for north of Marana. I didn't know if that's – they didn't say if that – and where it is, if it's in Pima County, if it's adjacent to, you know, Tohono O'odham lands, or do you know anything about that?
At this point, I don't. Courtney, have you seen anything through your pipeline?
Yes, Paula Bloomer, the environmental person at the town of Marana, who also handles the cultural resources consultation process for the town of Marana, sent Scott and I a draft of the report, of the survey report for that data center. It is pretty far north. It's in the town of Marana jurisdiction. I don't remember right offhand the exact location, but they are going through the cultural resources process for that, the review process. Scott, do you remember exactly what intersection? That was pretty far north, wasn't it?
It was pretty far north. I don't remember the exact intersection, but I mean, it's north of Point of Mountain and I think east of the river.
Okay. But is it a culturally sensitive site, or, I mean, can you comment on that?
From what I remember, and I apologize, I do a lot of these reviews, remember seeing that there were cultural resources identified on the property, and there may even have been an old road or a trail. And so the cultural resources, I believe, were isolated occurrences and not sites, but I believe the trail or the old road was considered a site to be preserved. That's as much as I remember. Scott, do you remember anything
no,
beyond
that's,
that?
Yeah. That's more than I remember.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, okay. Thanks. Thanks a lot. I was just curious because, you know, the commission didn't really weigh in on Project Blue until we never really did, and then it sort of got voted down. But there were, you know, as you know, there were resources involved in that. Mm-hmm. And so we just maybe want to be out in front of this new project. But thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Commissioner Lozano, would you like us to send you Paula Bloomer's contact information?
Sure, that would be great. Yeah.
I can do that separately.
What Courtney's delicately trying to say is because it's in the town of Marana limits, we really don't have a say in the requirements that are required by the town of Marana. We've advised Paula, who's wonderful about checking with us, but she's obviously at the mercy of her, of Marana's ordinance and Marana's structure. So, but we obviously will continue to engage as necessary when called upon.
Yeah. Right. And then Marana is also involved in the Silver Bell widening, aren't they?
Marana?
Yeah.
So they're involved in the overall project, which is the build out of Silverbell from Goray all the way up to Ina. So the, again, that project's being broken out in segments. The current segment from Goray to Camino del Cerro is completely within the city of Tucson, managed by the city of Tucson. Subsequent sections that would be funded by RTA next would be either county or Marana, and separated into further sections.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Ken, what do you have?
Well, I just, a quick question on the location. It's not anywhere close to Tortolita Fan.
I was just looking it up. It might take me a few minutes to find it, but I know that it was in farm fields.
Okay.
It is north of Marana Mounds, though, the Marana Mounds community.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Let's. Is that all that you guys have right now, Ian and Courtney?
Scott, did you have anything, Scott?
No, I don't. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. All right, let's move on to item 7C, which is City of South Tucson. I didn't see Mr. Lycia here. I don't know if he's joined. Carlos, have you been able to talk to him?
Yeah, sure. I talked to him last week, and he's super busy. He really does want to attend. His other person in planning, she actually left City of South Tucson. So that was my other idea, was to get her, because she was, Molly was the one that attended the preservation conference. But, right. But let me ask you though, would it be appropriate? So the council members in City of South Tucson are very involved in all these planning projects. Would it be appropriate for a council member to give a report?
I don't see why not. If Carla, do you see any issues with that?
I don't think that's an issue, but let me just double check, and then I can send you and Carlos an email to confirm.
That'd be perfect, because I think that would be great to do that.
I will report on a City of South Tucson issue during my transportation report, I will. Yeah.
Okay. So you're good, Carlos?
I'm good. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Item 7D is Tucson Department of Transportation and Mobility, and we will introduce Lydia here to update us. And I'll include you on the next agenda.
Lovely. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. I will be Lydia Barker. I'm a planner with the City of Tucson Department of Transportation and Mobility. For the foreseeable future, I'll be your point of contact and kind of providing these updates. I have three different projects that I want to provide brief updates on. If there are more, I'm happy to take those requests and talk to our project managers and report back to you. But I'll start with these three. The first one I have is for the First Avenue Improvement Project. The scope of this is from Grant Road to River Road. We anticipate that the completion of the design concept report by the end of this calendar year, that will, the design concept report will include the general design concept, alignment, and footprint of the entire project. There's a tentative scheduled date of late 2028 for construction to start, and we also have some resources for folks to leave comments on. We have an online public meeting that will be live until late November for people to be able to see the early design concept. I do have a link. I'm not sure really the best way to provide that to the commission. It looks like the chat's disabled, but please direct me on how best to get that resource
Lydia,
to you all.
You can send things to Carla Inclan, our person at Boards and Commissions for the city. And she can forward it to all commissioners, or you can send it to me. But you can start with Carla, and she can direct you. And she's got all the the mail out lists and stuff, because some people are interested in that. So
yeah, definitely. Okay, yeah, we'll do.
Thank you.
The next project I have is Tucson Norte Sur, or Tucson Rapid Transit. So that project is currently at 15% design, and hoping to get to 30% design by the time the city submits an application for a grant agreement with the Federal Transit Administration. And that'll be happening in late summer or fall of 2026 of next year. We, for that project, the transit division is also waiting to hear on what happens to the Regional Transportation Authority's RTA Next plan that, you know, is the main funder source of the project. So we're waiting to hear if that passes or if we need to look at other design or other funding options. Public outreach for feedback on early design for the bus rapid transit is scheduled for spring and fall of 2026. And there's an estimated construction start date of late 2028 and early 2029. The last project that I have an update on is the Grant Road Improvement Project. This is specifically phases 3 and 4, which is, if you're familiar, between Sparkman Boulevard and Swan Road. So the base level paving of Grant Road for this section of the project west of Alvernon is completed. Underground utility lines like water, sewer, and storm drain are almost complete from Alvernon to the project to the project's east end. And starting in November, the utility work on Alvernon will begin and last. We expect that to last into the spring of 2026, so for about the next 6 months. The south side of Grant, east of Alvernon, will begin roadway construction, and the project is on track to be completed in the fall of 2026. And I'm happy to take any questions from the commission if there are any, or additional projects that are of interest.
Okay, let's go with Ken first, Carlos, and Helen, and I ask you to be brief.
Hi, Lydia. This is Ken Scoville. I'm on the transportation subcommittee, and Carlos is the honcho on that. And just, has the city done any inventory on First Avenue? It's not replete with historic resources, but there are a few. Do you know if the city's identified anything along that route?
Yeah, we do have a database showing all of our historic landmarks, historic preservation zones and things of that nature. Our project managers are pretty well versed in what historic preservation efforts need to be done for First Avenue and for all the other projects as well.
Well, but for First Avenue, do you have actual buildings identified?
Yeah, I'm looking at, I have up our map now with all of the resources that I have on historic preservation efforts. I know that there's a historic landmark sign at Fort Lowell and First. That's showing up for me.
Lydia, yeah. I think Jonathan from the city is, Jonathan, is that why your hand is raised?
Yep, that's correct.
Go ahead and just, would you like him to answer that question?
Sure.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
currently, a Class 3 cultural resources survey is being conducted and written up for that corridor, and so we'll have a lot more information after that is complete and reviewed.
Okay. And then the same question for Lydia or Jonathan. I know Stone Avenue. Bob Vint did an inventory maybe 15, 20 years ago. And that you might want to reference if you're doing that one. But there's a considerably lot of resources just north of Speedway and then about halfway up towards Grant Road. There are a lot of good adobe buildings. And I've been especially worried about them because they've gotten all fixed up. So somebody's bought those properties for real estate speculation and may lose the adobes. But I think it's a critical time, especially for Stone. And so those are the two projects. And, you know, things did not fare very well for historic resources on Grant. So we hope we're going to do better on those other thoroughfares.
Thank you. So we'll go with Carlos and then Helen.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Lydia, and welcome. So I guess what we're trying to say is have you identified any, like, partial or full takes that would affect any structures or buildings that are like over 50 years old? That's what it comes down to, because, and I know that on First Avenue, I saw I saw one of the renderings, and it looks like you guys have done a great job snaking through the areas, which is excellent. But it's hard to tell from the alignments that we've seen, you know, if any partial or full takes are going to affect any of them. So are you at that stage yet?
Yeah, great question. I'm not sure about that. I'll bring that up with that project manager and provide an update on that next meeting, if that's acceptable.
Sure, that'd be great. And so just to be clear, yeah, we can't find those maps or the resources in that you mentioned for First Avenue. It's not on that website, or at least I couldn't find anything on that website that got it dropped into any real detail. So if you have anything, yeah, I would love to see anything you've got, yeah. Or you send it through to Carla or Terry, yeah.
Yeah, we'll do. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks. Helen?
Hi, Lydia. Good to meet you. I'm asking, do you have an update on the 5th and 6th project? And one of the reasons of particular concern to historic landscapes is that little circle, I guess you might call it. It's not a rectangular circle, triangular circle. At Country Club and Sixth, I think it is at that point. And I just wanted to make sure that in the course of construction, plants still had some access to water there so that they were not facing a terminal illness.
Mm. So. Sorry, did you say that was a traffic circle?
Country Club? There's a little triangle. Six sort of goes off one way, and then the main road becomes Fifth. That Country Club is just west of that intersection. And we had a review of the landscape on that triangle or whatever it's called, median. And I know that before, accidentally, you know, irrigation has been cut off to things. And since that is a construction project that seems to be going on for quite a while, I wonder if you could make sure that we still have some water going to the plants that need it.
Yeah, thank you. I'll bring that concern to our project manager and get back to you on that as well. Thank you.
Yeah, maybe it might be easier. Could you provide us with your email so that Carlos especially can be in touch with you as chair of the transportation subcommittee? And, you know, that might, people might have questions throughout the month before we meet again. So what is your email, if you don't mind sharing it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, if folks hover above my name, you should be able to see it. But it's my full name, so it's lydia.barker@tucsonaz.gov.
Okay, everyone have that? Okay, perfect. Thank you. Carlos, did you have something else? You're on mute.
No, thanks. No, thanks for the report. It's great to see someone from DTM, Lydia.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, happy
thanks.
To be here. Thank you all.
Okay, Joel, one quick question, please. We have to move on or we're not going to make
just
it.
Just a real quick question. And maybe you're not the person to ask. Nice to meet you. Is the transportation department having any reaction to the three deaths that happened at 2nd Street and Euclid? If you know anything about that, or just historical neighborhood, you know, it's I don't know if you have any information.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I will say too, we have a Tucson and Pima County Bicycle Advisory Committee that kind of deals with specific transportation issues like that. I will say that there are planned improvements. I don't know the timeline for those quite yet, but we recognize that the intersection needs improvements. It's a very unfortunate accident.
Well, and I'm just good, and I'm hoping the historical commission can maybe help with design and needs and use and stuff, if it's appropriate. Thank you. That's all.
Yeah.
Right. Thanks, Joel. Thanks, Lydia. And thank you again. So let's move on to item 8, which is commission subcommittee, other committee, council, commission status reports. 8A is plans review. Desiree or Michael, do you want to say anything briefly about that?
I don't think I have any specific updates. Michael, do you have anything?
No, I don't have any update, Madam Chair.
Okay. One thing, Desiree, so tomorrow's meeting, right, is going to be to deal with those National Register nominations, or do we have cases tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow's focus is on the National Register nomination, so they're courtesy reviews, kind of as in our role as a CLG, we can provide comments to the State Historic Preservation Office. So that'll be that. And then, yes, we are, because of the Thanksgiving holiday, we're moving the second meeting, PRS meeting, that would normally take place that week. We're doing that earlier, so we'll be meeting on November 18th. So that's next Tuesday. And there will be a few cases. There will be one that's come before the commission before, the All Saints Project. So that will be going to Armory Park and PRS. They have, because they're HUD funded, or there is the potential for HUD funding, they do have a deadline for their Section 106 comments in December. So that's why they'll be kind of heard on the same day for that project.
Okay. You had a question, Steve?
I do. As I'm on the Armory Park Historic Zone Advisory Board, I don't think we've seen plans prior to our meeting next Tuesday. Is there some way so that we can review those, because it's such a major project?
Yes, they should be uploaded today. They haven't already. But I just found them to be uploaded. There are a lot of them, so I'm going to take a little longer.
You're breaking up, Desiree. Did you hear
Steve? So I heard that they're being uploaded today. It would be great if notice can go out to the advisory board members, so we at least have the weekend to take a look at it. Thank you.
Yes, we will definitely do that once they're uploaded.
Okay, thank you, Ken.
Yes, is this the church on 6th, just in Armory Park? Is that the one with the structural
issues?
Yes,
there's
long-term structural
issue. So there are a number of buildings that are involved in this project, but it is at that on 6th Avenue. Kind of there's like a complex of religious structures. The Curcio is one, and then next door is the priest quarters.
Okay. I'd be curious to know if it's a good project. I hope so.
Yeah. Steve, did you have something else?
I had a quick question. What is the status of the demolition of the South 6th Avenue priest quarters?
Yes, so that will be presented at the, you know, at Armory Park and at PRS. But currently, so originally the project included demolition of that building. So The project has since been revised. The building will not be demolished. However, there are parts of it, the front, there was a front addition that was a later addition built outside of the period of significance. They are proposing to demolish that portion so that there can be room for parking, because the parking was kind of has been a challenge for this particular project. And then there's a non-contributing garage at the rear that will also be demolished. So there are components of demolition, but the contributing part of the building, that the historic part of the building, is no longer proposed for demolition.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, thanks so much, Desiree. Let's move on to item 8B, which is Downtown Neighborhoods and Residents Council. Commissioner Haggard? Tim?
Hi, this is Tim Haggard. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Hi. Yeah, we did not meet this past month, so hopefully we're going to be meeting again in the first part of December.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, item 8C is Historic Landscape Subcommittee. Commissioner Grady.
Thank you. We met on October 30th, and items that were that we reviewed were South Seoul Korea House landscape revisions, basically the reduction of the project due to budget, the Gene C. Reed Park interactive water feature in Ramada, the Gene C. Reed Outdoor Performance Center, and that was more of a courtesy review with the intention to bring it back through the Historic Landscape Subcommittee and then the Plans Review Subcommittee, the Del Ulrich, Golf Course and 22nd Street Walking Path Improvements, La Madera Park Splash Pad. And so those, it was a busy meeting. The next thing I wanted to report is that our next meeting is on Thursday, November 20th at 10 o'clock a.m. So Tim, please, if you can attend, please do. It'll be on the, I'll include you on the agenda, which would be, should be going out in the next few days. Another item was, that was brought to our attention was the, renaming of Mission Manor Park, for Raul M. Grijalva, the late U.S. representative. And Desiree, I had a question. You may know about this. It looks as though this is the second park named for, Representative Grijalva. Do you happen to know?
I'm not sure. I know that there are other, public facilities named after him, but I'm not sure exactly which ones.
And I was also going to ask if you had found out if there was any specific significance to the Mission Manor or if that was more specific to the subdivision in which it was in.
So I personally didn't research Mission Manor, other than just what we already had in our files. I know there was an evaluation or there was a conversation with SHPO about the eligibility of the building that was in Mission Manor Park, not the Mission Manor Park overall, but that specific building for its architecture. It was found ineligible. That building has since been demolished. I don't know if there's been an evaluation for the park overall, but it's, it's potentially to have significance for, maybe neighborhood history or social history. I just don't know if that has been evaluated or researched.
Well, that makes sense. So I'd like to make a motion that's slightly contingent, in that, from what we can tell, there's no specific significance to the Mission Manor name, specifically, and there doesn't seem to be any, that we are aware of, community, disagreement in the renaming of the park, or specific to this. So I'd like to make a motion that the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission supports the renaming of Mission Manor Park for the late U.S. Representative Raul M. Grijalva due to his childhood connection to this park and his importance to this region.
Yeah. Is there a second?
This is Commissioner Houghton, and I will happily second in the hour leading up to his daughter swearing in.
Wonderful. Okay, so it's been moved and seconded that we support the renaming of the park, and this is something that I would do on behalf of the commission if we have an affirmative vote. So let's go ahead and take a roll call vote, please.
Okay, Allison Doggy.
Aye.
Andrew Christopher.
Aye.
Blake Houghton.
Aye.
Carlos Lozano.
Aye.
Courtney Marks.
Courtney, are you there?
I'll call back on her. Gary Miner.
She's muted, yeah. Aye. Gary? Okay.
Aye. Helen Erickson.
Aye.
J.J. Lamb.
Aye.
Jessica Bassey.
Aye.
Joel Ireland.
Yes.
Julie Rigoli?
Aye.
Ken Scoville?
Ken?
He might have left. I'll call back on him again. Kathy Kubish?
Aye.
Mauro Trejo?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Steve Grady?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Haggard?
Aye.
And then Courtney Marks?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I have to step away for a moment. I'm not sure what's going on.
So, Courtney, do you vote aye or nay?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Ken Scoville?
Aye.
Perfect. Motion passes 18-0.
Perfect. All right. Thank you very much. Anything else, Steve?
No, nothing more at this time.
Okay, I just wanted to mention that, so, Steve, you will... you will be running the next meeting of HLS on the 20th?
I will.
And, but I wanted to just thank, Steve in front of the entire commission because he won't be able to participate in the next commission meeting in December for all your hard work and, you know, the work you all have done in transforming the role of the Historic Landscape Subcommittee into you know, a very useful body for all the people coming in for reviews and a real acknowledgement of the attention we pay to Tucson's landscapes. It's quite varied landscapes and it's amazing. So thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's move on to 8D, which is Transportation Subcommittee. Commissioner Lozano.
Thanks, Terry. I'm going to skip all my items except for one. I just wanted to do an update. So the Latinos in Heritage Conservation people came in and they came to City of South Tucson, I guess it was last week, and did an update on that grant. And I thought maybe Ricky Riojas would be here today to talk about it, but it's moving along and really well. I was really pleased to see that they are focusing on the commercial corridors in this first phase rather than what we might expect of them to do residential. So it's really great. And let's see. Remember, that's also Selena Barajas is also involved in that, and she is now council member Ward 5, so we can expect a lot of good things coming out of Ward 5 in the future. But I did want to mention another thing about that is I had mentioned to Ricky Riojas that they had not identified the historic motels on South 6 and on Benson Highway. But I'm not going to make a big deal out of that if they don't want to include that in their limited scope, because that's historic Route 80, and historic Route 80 is really can become its own thing. So I wanted to mention that too, and maybe have Commissioner Lamb mention too that she's making efforts to really link together all the communities along historic Route 80. And as far as the commission is concerned, that would be Vail and Tucson and Catalina. But within southern Arizona, you know, you've got all these historic communities from Douglas, you know, Bisbee, Tombstone, St. David. And so it's really wonderful. And we were trying to get City of South Tucson to participate in Vail's upcoming event on December 6th, I think it is. But we don't know if that's going to happen or not. But I guess Commissioner Lamb could tell us about her event now or wait until the other the summary of current events as ever. But that's my only item for today.
Good. Thank you, Carlos. Okay. I just wanted to mention that I have a hard stop at 1:30, and so we need to move along because we do have a presentation from Pima County that is – scheduled for a little bit longer time. Okay, so 8E is Commission on Equitable Housing and Development. Commissioner McDonald.
Yeah, I'll be super brief. In fact, they met on the 6th, and it was a shorter meeting, mostly going over the Pima County Regional Housing Strategy and Funding Plan, the $250 million 10-year funding policy. There was a lot of discussion, or at least a presentation, about the funding plan portion, how it's being allocated at this point, and envisioned. And then they just talked about finalized the memo that they're preparing to send to mayor and council based on their recommendations for the year. So that's it.
Great. Thank you for that. Item 8F is the budget subcommittee, and I have no report. 8G is outreach and training subcommittee. Commissioner Lamb, you're on mute.
Okay, so I just want to remind everyone that it's not too late to register for tomorrow's design review roundtable, evaluating additions to historic structures. This webinar is free for NAPC members, and I'll just remind everyone again that you are all members of the NAPC through your service as a commission member or member of staff or member of boards. There is a cost for non-members, but don't let that stop you. We did send around some instructions. Just use the member code design1125, and that cost is not going to be taken off until the very last screen. So don't stop. Just keep working at registering. There's also CE credits and certificates of completion available for those that qualify for that. The committee is working on two webinars related to deconstruction that will be held next year, and we'll have information about the dates very soon. As part of the preparation for these deconstruction webinars, Commissioner Kubisch is preparing information related to existing local deconstruction and circular economy efforts. This is part of our work to provide useful tools that will extend the value of these upcoming webinars. And I just want to remind everyone that there are many past webinars available on the National Alliance of Preservation Commission's website. These are all available to you. And I'll just share that Commissioner Miner has been taking advantage of these resources, and I'm going to encourage everyone else to do that as well. We'll be making some updates to the Commissioner Training Manual, and we'll make those changes available as soon as they're completed. And then we want to welcome Commissioner Trejo to the Outreach and Training Subcommittee. Yeah, that's
great.
It.
Thank you. Ken, brief question, please.
Yeah, JJ, will this additions program tomorrow be available later on and we can access it?
If you are registered for it, there are a few of these paid webinars that are not available later. I'm not positive about this one. I'll check into that.
Can you send me a, of the registration for it or the link for it?
Yeah, I'll.
You can have it, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't you have it, Ken, from, isn't this the one that we advertised, JJ?
Yes, it is.
I would just say it's a chaotic time in my life a little bit, so send it to me.
We can resend.
And then you could sign up for it, but I think you have to take it and enter that code, though. That's the thing, right?
Yeah, you have to register and enter that code. The code is design1125.
Okay.
But I'll resend that.
Okay.
Great.
And I, Terry, I have to leave now, so I just wanted to give you that.
Okay, well, thank you. So you're leaving at 1:11 then, right? Okay, thank you. Thanks, Ken.
All right.
Kathy, do you have a quick question?
I just wanted to mention that NAPC sent out an email today about the webinar tomorrow.
Right.
But you will need the code. Okay.
Great, thank you. All right, so let's see. We've got item 8H is event subcommittee, and I don't have a report. And 8I is preservation awards subcommittee. I don't have a report. And 8J is TPCHC Historic Preservation Advisory Working Group. Helen and JJ. Now, I didn't get a name there.
Sure.
Helen and or.
Okay, perfect. I'll start, and JJ, you can follow up if I miss something here. We met on October 15th. Our next meeting will be on December 3rd. So, you know, if you have questions, you can get that to us by then. One of the things that we did was to move the whole discussion of the valid status of our historic parks back to Historic Landscape Subcommittee, which it actually belongs, and the discussion will continue there. We're keeping an update on this about the Butterfield National Historic Trail, because that is something that involves both Pima County and the City of Tucson, and eventually we may give that to transportation. I'm not sure where that particular project will end up, but right now we're just keeping an eye on it. When we meet next time, we'll be talking specifically about the administrative directive that needs to be reviewed. And both Desiree and Pima County, I'm not quite sure if it's Courtney or Ian, are going to provide information so that we can start analyzing the existing directive and try to work on something that is more up to date and deals with our needs today. Did I miss something, JJ?
No, I think you covered it all.
Okay. That's it then.
Perfect. Thank you, Helen. And JJ, if there are no questions, we'll go ahead and move on to item 9. Which is ASM permitting and policy updates.
So no real update this month, Terry, and I know we're short on time, so we can probably just go to the next item.
Okay, thank you. And what I can do is probably email my boss and tell him that I might be a few minutes late to this required meeting, next one. Let's see, item 10 is update on Pima County Cultural Resources and Historic Preservation Office reorganization and introduce new Pima County Board of Supervisors policy on tribal consultation. And this is Ian. Ian's been promising us that this was coming, and here it is.
Yeah, so Terry, how short on time are we? Because I could always do the tribal policy next month.
Why don't we do that? Because then we have more time for questions. If you're okay with that, and I'm sorry
that
you didn't prepare, but just think you're ahead of the game.
No, that's all right. That's good. So we'll just stick with the reorganization. Okay. So our office, just to remind everyone, is housed in the Conservation Lands and Resources Department. It sits alongside lateral to three divisions, Conservation Science Education, Trails and Mountain Parks, Range and Agriculture and Wild Divisions. But it's important to note that our office is an office and it's not a division, and that distinction is significant. So divisions focus on specific departmental missions such as open space, recreation, natural resource management. An office, by contrast, we play a centralized role across departmental role that serves all of Pima County government. So as an office, we provide countywide oversight and expertise in cultural resources and historic preservation. We ensure that all county departments and units of Pima County government, including transportation, facilities, parks, flood control, et cetera, comply with preservation laws and integrate stewardship into project planning and implementation. Because our authority is grounded in Board of Supervisors Policy C-317, our office is also empowered to report directly to county administration and the Board of Supervisors when necessary. This structure, it's not intended to circumvent the director of CLR, but rather it's a safeguard to uphold the integrity of our statutory and policy-based responsibilities. Our office's independent reporting authority, it ensures that our preservation mandate is protected, transparent, and consistently applied all county operations. So the framework underscores that historic preservation is a shared countywide responsibility embedded within land stewardship, education, and sustainable planning. So our office historically operated under two main program umbrellas, the regulatory compliance and the preservation. So we administer under the compliance wing, we administer a comprehensive suite of culture resources programs that ensure adherence to federal, state, and local preservation laws. We oversee compliance for all county departments and operations, ensuring activities meet applicable legal and procedural standards. For private development, our office reviews projects to verify compliance with county ordinances and with state and federal resource regulations. We also represent Pima County in compliance activities mandated by other government agencies, or think interstate projects like SunZia Transmission Line or large industry projects, large private industry. Through the county's certified local government program, the office fulfills federal and state preservation requirements in coordination with the SHPO's office and the National Park Service. We manage formal and courtesy reviews through the commission and administer the county's historic zoning compliance, including applications for historic and historic landmark designations. We also conduct specialized compliance monitoring for historic properties under county stewardship. An example is the Titan Missile Museum. It's a national historic landmark. And we contribute heritage data for external compliance reporting, including biennial reviews by the Arizona Land and Water Trust. Supporting all these programs is a robust data management system that maintains and protects records of cultural resources governed by state and federal law. Now, on the preservation side, this is where our mission expands beyond compliance and into stewardship. We administer a comprehensive set of preservation programs. They're designed to identify, protect, and promote the county's cultural heritage. Hmm. So through its identification program, we inventory cultural resources located on county land, leased, and regional flood control district lands to ensure that they're documented and considered in land management decisions. The conservation program provides ongoing monitoring, management, and protection of these cultural resources, while the conservation easement program oversees and enforces all county-held cultural conservation easements to safeguard heritage sites in perpetuity. Our office maintains multiple cultural resources databases. These document and track archaeological and historic properties across our conservation lands. We administer and update the Pima County Register of Historic Places. This was previously known as our priority cultural resources list of the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan, recognizing significant properties that contribute to the region's heritage. We advance preservation goals by pursuing and managing grant programs, supporting cultural resource conservation interpretation. We lead education and outreach initiatives that engage county staff and public through tours, presentations, and interpretive programming. We're also in the process of developing and implementing a heritage master plan, a countywide framework to guide interpretation and public understanding of cultural resources, and manage the Site Stewards Program for county's conservation lands, fostering volunteer stewardship of protected sites. Additionally, we prepare required annual reports on sites such as Tumac Hill or the Valencia site, as stipulated by Growing Smarter funded purchase agreements, and produce management plans for individual properties and resources to ensure that their long-term preservation. We also support the land acquisition program, efforts provided by expert recommendations to integrate cultural resource considerations into the county's conservation strategy. Now, historically, we have done all of this with three positions. And it's a single program manager two position and two program manager one roles. But this limited capacity has kind of hit a breaking point, and it's taxed our ability to meet compliance demands, respond to development pressures, and implement proactive preservation. So the new structure, approved and supported by both county administration and the Board of Supervisors, expands the team to 10 full-time positions across defined programs and career ladders. This reorganization, it creates a sustainable professional framework to meet our current needs, as well as for the county's long-term commitment to preservation work, with clearer lines of responsibility and advancement. So starting with the Historic Preservation Officer, this is a senior leadership position and establishes parity with Historic Preservation Officer roles in state, federal, and tribal government. It administers the countywide preservation and cultural resource management programs, ensuring compliance with all federal, state, local preservation laws and policies. It provides strategic direction, supervises staff, manages budgets, and coordinates closely with county administration, the Board of Supervisors, tribes, state, federal agencies, as well as the commission. Equally important, this position serves as an advisor to the county administrator and the Board of Supervisors, integrating preservation principles into planning, development, and land management decisions. The qualifications are important because we require a graduate degree, 5 years professional experience, and meeting the professional standards established by ASM and the Secretary of the Interior. Next, for our cultural resource compliance programs, we've established a cultural resources compliance manager position that will lead all the regulatory compliance programs for both archaeology and historic preservation. The manager is going to ensure that all county departments meet all the legal obligations under the National Historic Preservation Act as applicable, the Arizona Antiquities Act, county policy, and local ordinances. This position will also supervise two new compliance staff who will oversee all the project reviews for all county departments, including private development, and coordinate with tribes, SHPO, federal and state agencies, and the commission. The role also manages the county's compliance databases, very important, that support education and outreach and ensure that our review processes are efficient, consistent, and transparent. Again, minimum qualifications are a graduate degree with at least 3 years of experience, including 2 in supervision, and credentials that meet ASM and SOI professional standards. Next, we have the 2 analysts that will work under the compliance manager. They'll be handling the day-to-day compliance reviews and coordination. They'll evaluate public and private sector development projects, the permits, including county capital improvement projects, for their potential impacts to resources. They also play a critical role in facilitating consultation, and they manage consultants, review reports, maintain GIS data, and manage project documentation. They're also going to assist in grant writing, policy updates, and public education to promote heritage stewardship. Again, a graduate degree, 2 years of experience, ASM and SOI qualifications, ensuring that every review is defensible, professional, and in compliance with state and federal standards, which is why the graduate degree is required for the analyst. Now, moving into the cultural resources preservation programs, this is a new position that is going to oversee all the protection, management, interpretation of cultural, historical, and archaeological assets on county conservation lands. It's going to include supervising staff, new staff under this program, and volunteers, and then charged with the inventory, documentation, and monitoring of the cultural resources on county conservation lands, as well as managing the Arizona Site Stewards Program, maintaining the Pima County Register of Historic Places, and ensuring compliance with conservation easement agreements. The manager is also going to be primarily charged with developing the management and mitigation plans. They will pursue grants and coordinate with all county departments on that effort, as well as our internal divisions in CLR. This also requires a graduate degree and at least 3 years of experience, 2 in supervision, again, meeting ASM and SOI professional standards. This role, importantly, it represents the county's commitment to active stewardship. It's not just regulatory compliance. Preservation analyst will be the next junior position that will work underneath the manager. They'll be in a supporting role on the day-to-day stewardship and conservation efforts. They'll conduct archival and GIS research, field surveys, monitoring, and condition assessments on county-managed lands. They assist in preparing management plans, analyzing data, developing public education interpretation materials. And this position is going to serve as a bridge between the technical work of archaeology and the public's understanding of why these places matter. This one requires a bachelor's degree and at least 2 years professional experience because they can do work under a permitted individual at the higher level. This also is the first step in the next of the positions, the coordinator, in having 4 full-time archaeologists working for Pima County to mitigate costs that are now escalating at both ASM and with consultants, where we just don't have the budgets to hire consultants for this work that needs to get done in our conservation lands. So the coordinators are going to be the field-based professionals, the eyes and ears of the county's preservation work on the ground. They may work in tandem with the biologists that are currently on our staff, blending nature and culture together. They'll conduct surveys, site monitoring, condition assessments, They'll assist with compliance documentation and mapping as needed and contribute to data management and public education efforts. The positions will also work closely with volunteers, tribes, and partnering agencies, ensuring that stewardship is both professional and community-oriented. Each coordinator must have at least a bachelor's degree and one or more years of field experience in cultural resources. And together, the coordinator team, it greatly expands that county's capacity, again, to protect and document our heritage assets in the field. So finally, the historic preservation analyst. This is an important position as it will support both the preservation and compliance programs with a focus on historic era and architectural resources. This position will conduct archival research, prepare historic property documentation, and support National Register of Historic Places nominations. The analyst also provides historical expertise to county departments and develops interpretive materials and public history initiatives that highlight Pima County's built environment and cultural identity. The position requires, again, a graduate degree and at least 3 years experience and compliance with federal professional standards for history, architecture or architectural history. The role connects our regulatory mission with the storytelling and education that bring preservation to life for the public. So how does all this fit together into our new structure? At the top of the structure, again, is the historic preservation officer. It's the leadership position, coordinating all county departments with the external partners. Beneath the leadership of the HPO, our work is now defined by three coordinated programmatic branches. Cultural Resources Compliance Program, again, led by the compliance manager and supported by two compliance analysts. Cultural Resources Preservation Programs, led by a preservation manager, supported by a preservation analyst and three coordinators who will be charged with overseeing the stewardship of county conservation lands, easements, and interpretive public education programs. And then in the center, you have the Historic Preservation Programs, led by the historic preservation analyst, focusing on the architectural history, NRHP nominations, interpretive initiatives, and public outreach. So this reorganization ensures that each area of responsibility has dedicated expertise, fostering accountability, collaboration, and professional growth within the county's preservation framework. Each role, again, within the office aligns with federal, state, professional standards and includes those established by ASM and the Secretary of the Interior. So we've begun implementing the structure with the direct appointments of our current staff that will occur within the next few weeks. So I will move into the HPO position. Courtney will be moving into the Cultural Resources Preservation Programs as Preservation Manager, and Scott will manage the Historic Preservation Programs and serve as the Historic Preservation Analyst, continuing to support compliance, preservation, and training. We'll then begin the process of hiring the remaining positions to complete the team, prioritizing professionals with expertise in archaeology, history, GIS, and public interpretation to round out a balanced multidisciplinary office. So looking ahead, our goal is to enhance Pima County's national leadership in cultural resource management as a center of excellence for cultural heritage stewardship, and it really is this model that is needed. By fully integrating regulatory compliance, conservation management, public education, we can ensure that legal protection, ethical care, and public appreciation of Pima County's cultural resources are maintained. The two hirings that you see right there are going to happen this year, and then we are doing supplemental budget requests in next year and the year after for the future positions. That was the speed round. Any questions?
That's amazing. Helen, could you be real brief? Because maybe we can ask more questions next time, too. So go ahead.
No, first of all, I would like very much to commend you on this. Mm-hmm. I think this is amazing. And second of all, can you please share this PowerPoint with me so that we can add it to our discussion as regards the reforms that we hope will take place in the city of Tucson? This is wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, we're happy to share this presentation, and I'll send it to Carla right after we get off today.
Great. Thank you so much. Amazing. Well, and thanks also, and we'll have enough time. Do you think 10 or 15 minutes for the tribal next time? And I mean, I tried to keep it a light agenda elsewhere, but I can never predict. I'm sorry. So, but yeah, I've got it on my notes. Okay. Thank you so much, Ian.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so item 11 is monitoring and preserving historic buildings and landscapes owned by the city of Tucson. That's Commissioner Scoville, but he's not here, so we'll just say no report. Item 12 is Commissioner's summary of current events. Does anyone have an event to share?
I have something that I would like to share briefly, Terry.
Okay, go ahead, Blake.
In the recent weeks, preservation professionals across the country have voiced a deep concern over the demolition of the East Wing of the White House. What troubles many of us most is not the loss of a historic structure, but the abandonment of process, the choice to proceed without consultation, transparency, or respect for the professional stewardship of our laws and ethics. The White House has stood long as a symbol of national continuity, not just a residence, but a representation of the people's trust in enduring institutions. To demolish a part of that legacy without preservation oversight is not simply an act of redesign, it is a rupture in the covenant between the past and the present. Olmsted once wrote that the establishment by government of great public grounds for the free enjoyment of the people is justified on the grounds that it is a means of providing for the masses what the masses cannot so well provide for themselves. That principle extends beyond parks and into every act of preservation, ensuring that what is irreplaceable remains within reach of all. Preservation is not nostalgia. It is a moral act. It reflects respect for the stories and labors that laid the foundation beneath our feet. When decisions at the highest levels disregard that principle, they send a dangerous message that history is disposable, expertise optional, and collective memory subject to revision. Here in Tucson, we see how fragile our heritage can be. In the soft walls of adobe, in mission gardens and cultural landscapes that still hold memory. Yet in that fragility lies strength. Each restoration renews the promise that history is not owned, it is shared. We may not control what happens in Washington, but we can embody what should happen everywhere, the thoughtful stewardship of place guided by respect rather than convenience. Preservation cannot depend on politics. It depends on conscience, on knowledge, and on the belief that the work we do quietly and persistently binds generations together. Here in Tucson, we understand that the stories written in adobe and stone are worth defending because the care we give to the past defines the character of the future. Thank you, Chair Majewski.
That was amazing, Blake. Could you send mm-hmm. that to Carla to share with us, please?
Yes, I will.
I would like to read it, you know, where I can really think about it and some really great thoughts. Thank you. Anyone else have?
That should really be published somewhere.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was great. Any other current events that you want to share?
This is JJ. Very quickly, I'll just say that we're having our Bell Preservation Society's Christmas event is going to be a Highway 80 themed car show. That's what it'll feature, and we're starting to encourage other communities, places along Highway 80 to join with us in having car shows that highlight the history of Highway 80. And 2026 is also its 100th anniversary, along with Route 66.
And so when is that, JJ?
December 6th. It's from 1:30 to 5 at the old post office.
Yeah, and if you send that to me, and Carla will be sure that gets out to all commissioners and others who are interested. So Thank you. And I'm sure that everyone can Google the Vail Preservation Society and find out about these events, too, because JJ puts on, I don't know how JJ does it, but events every second. Seems like. And it probably seems like to you, but it's great.
It feels like.
Yeah. Any other current events that we want to share? Okay. Item 13 is called to the audience. Carla, did we receive any communications prior to the posted deadline?
No, none was received.
Thank you. Item 14 is thoughts on inclusivity. Does anyone want to share anything? Okay, I'll say none were shared. Item 15 is schedule and future agenda items. So I need to receive agenda items if you want me to consider them for the December agenda by November 28th, which is the day after Thanksgiving. So the next meeting is on December 10th, and I look forward to that. And I thank everyone for their patience and for the great meeting. And welcome again, Jessica. If you have questions, you know how to reach me, please do. And we're hoping that you will think about different subcommittees and decide where you'd like to serve once you get a feel for things that are going on, if
thank
that makes
very
sense.
Much. Yes, mm-hmm. It does.
And item 16 is adjournment. And so we are officially adjourning at 1:38 p.m. And Carla, could you stay on? Just I have a brief question for you so
yes.
Everyone else can go. The meeting's adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.